Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, and it's time for the one, the only, my man, my friend, Joe Meyer. Hasn't been around for a while, had some issues dealing with, but he said he had to come back because he's concerned about the average investor and what's going on in the world. And he said, Bubba, I got to come on, I got to talk to you, and I want to make sure I can help educate the average investor. Joe Meyer, welcome back to the show, straightmoneyanalysis.com.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you and the Bubba Show, as always, for having me as a guest. Extreme pleasure to once again visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, Todd.
Hey, Joe, listen, you know what? I always go to the best, and you just put out one of the most fabulous letters for the quarter that I think I've ever read. But there's some things that bother me first, and I want to really discuss with you, because I think it's important, and I think this is a, you know, the Bubba Show really is about trying to educate and help people become better investors. I mean, obviously, I inject my opinions, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit about some of the BS that's going on around the world. But the overall overwhelming factor is simple, that I like to educate and I like people to be better at what they do, and, you know, financial literacy. And
yes,
we know that when markets go up all the time and when there's no volatility, everybody decides that, well, they don't need any help, they don't need any information from anybody, because the markets are going up, so why do I need a straight money analysis, or why do I need Bubba to teach me anything? I know everything, because every time the market dips, I just step in and buy it. And of course, you and I both know that it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it's one of these days, there's going to be a big wallop in volatility, and the markets are going to drop, and we're going to have problems, and then everybody come running back when the horse is already out of the barn and it's too late. That's when people will come back looking for the answers from kind of what you do and kind of what I do. What do you think, and what do you tell people like that?
Well, I think people have to understand markets are continuing to change, cycles are continuing to evolve, and yes, these markets have gone up literally in a straight line over the last several years. But, you know, I've always said astute investors are aware of changes in trends, and certainly markets taking on a different definition. And you've got to be able to go back, look at prior cycles, look at prior markets, look at the similarities, look at the differences, and be aware that we're in the process of what I think a major trend change. And you've got to put together a strategy and a game plan to deal with it, Bubba.
And one of the problems is, Joe, is, you know, you write your newsletter every quarter.
Yes, I do.
And it's always very detailed, and it's explaining what to expect, what's happening in the market. It's not a day trader's guide. It's an investor's and a long-term trader's kind of information that helps them better decipher when the markets are making a change. Now, we know, forget about anything else, but as a mathematical certainty, that the markets are going to have a correction at some point. So you've done and gone through this analysis, and what I think what happens is the average investor, again, goes to the point, well, you know, everything's great, what do I need them for? And they let the horse out of the barn, the market comes down, and all of a sudden, their IRA went from, you know, dropped 25%, now they're scrambling for help, whereas the key is, and I never could understand this in any walk of business, Joe, is, you know, people, when things are going good, is when you should be learning and working on the strategies that are going to keep them going good. So when things do change, you're prepared for that change. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think people get very complacent and they lose sight of the fact that this bull market here is the second longest bull market running in history. The only bull market that has exceeded what we've seen here is the bull market of 1920. The bull market, as you know, started in 1921, topped out in 1929, and basically from the lows that we saw in 1920, quadrupled. This market here is within probably several months of challenging the longevity of that 1920 bull market, And as you know, Bubba, we started this bull run 6470 in the Dow and 670 in the S&P 500. We all know what happened after the crash in 1929. It took roughly 3 years to put the long-term bottom in place. We made a top at 381. We put the final lows in 41 in the Dow in 1932. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that we're going to see something similar to what we saw in the late 1920s and early 1930s. But I've got to tell you, this market is ripe for a correction. I've been very concerned and cautious for quite some time. And as you know, having read my June 2016 issue of the newsletter, I was advocating that any use of strength be put to best use by taking money off the table and reducing and or leverage or exposure in this market. I think this market's an accident to happen, and I think the surprise is going to be when this decline gets underway, not only how fast we go down, but how far we go down till we reach some meaningful support, Bubba. That's the way I see it.
No, and I agree. Look, you know, I always talk to people straight. You know, straight money analysis, that's who you are, and I'm a straight shooter, as you are. And I just say, look, I'm not telling you that we're going to collapse today, tomorrow, or next week. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that history and charts repeat themselves over and over again. And I know that eventually the market's going to have to take a profit, number one. Number two, we are seeing some of the worst economic data. I don't care how they want to spin it on air. I don't care how the politicians want to spin it. I'm looking at it, and this is some of the worst economic data in my 36-year career of trading. And I don't know, you know, what you're looking at, but I can't see anything else but something that's going to be very ugly when it happens. What do you see?
Well, I think the economic fundamentals have been poor. They continue to be poor. And lastly, and more importantly, they've been poor, as you know, for quite some time. I think, again, if we go back and we measure with a rule of this economic recovery and we look at the growth that we've had, you know, and the amount of money that's been pumped into the system, as I've said many times, with the amount of stimulus and quantitative easing we've had, we should be seeing 4-5% GDP numbers. We're seeing numbers roughly right around 1% or less. So the fundamentals are not supporting certainly what this market continues to do technically. And lastly, and more importantly, I've said many times, and I'll say it one more time for the benefit of your listening audience, this economic recovery starting in 2009 is on record as being the weakest economic recovery since the ending of the Civil War in 1865. That's a fact few people can accept, but you best be advised you better acknowledge it.
Exactly. You know, I just there's so many factors, Joe, that are going on within markets, and this is where I think the average investor really needs to pay attention. Again, this goes back to kind of what we talked about earlier in the segment. And I said, you know, I watched companies, I watched bankers, you know, and they, when things are tough, they get tougher. And when there's really no business to be had, but when things are great, they're out playing golf, they're out spending all the money. And I go, no, you should be doing it reverse of that. And what I'm saying here is that people need to understand that now is the time that you need to be studying and protecting yourself and reading publications like straightmoneyanalysis.com to bring to you what a professional who's been in the industry for 50 years is saying, because this is where you get value and you learn how to avoid the pitfalls that happen in life. And that is something that I think is extremely important. And I know you agree, but unfortunately, I talked too much. I brought this up to the break. I'm with my man, my friend, Joe Meyer, from straightmoneyanalysis.com. He just put together a 30-page, very comprehensive evaluation of the markets. And again, he's not telling you to get out tomorrow. He's saying this is the time you need to start to protect. So make sure if you get a chance, check it out. Go to straightmoneyanalysis.com. This is the Bubba Show. You know, when you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. We are now getting just over 225,000 downloads a month, and we're trying to get to 300,000 so we can continue to grow along with you. And we appreciate you coming there, as well as check out BubbaTrading.com to see some of the new programs we're working on. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, my man, Joe Meyer, from straightmoneyanalysis.com. And again, I urge you to check out Joe. He's just got great information. So, Joe, we're seeing a lot of crazy things, and I just want to talk to you about Brexit for a minute. You know, okay. I was not surprised whatsoever. I think it has absolutely no meaning. I thought that the British pound and the UK, they've had their own currency. They never really gave in to the whole euro objective. So to me, it was no big deal, and they have their own economy anyway. So what's the big deal, and why did we get so crazy when it happened?
Well, I think it was certainly something no one expected, but I think when you talk about the Brexit and certainly the action taken by Britain, people lose sight of really the reasoning behind them exiting the European Union, Todd. They wanted to be in control of their country, their money, their borders, and lastly and more importantly, their own immigration policies. But why I think this is important and why I think this is not a one-day event, I think this is going to play out over many, many months as to what we finally see coming out of the European Union. As you know, prior to the Brexit vote, no state had ever left the EU before. So this has got to go down, again, in my humble opinion, as the greatest disaster in the 50-year history of the UE, which was formed, again, as you know, in 1957. The bigger question is, and I don't think it's a question of if, it's a question of when, who will follow Great Britain? Could it be Italy, Spain, Portugal? Britain was a member of the EU going all the way back to 1973. They were in the EU 43 years. Again, Britain's still one of the most important economies and global financial centers in the world. And again, I think that speaks volumes as to their importance. I really do.
Okay, so now, you know, you talk about GDP, and that's kind of, it's to me, it's kind of like the S&P is the measure that everybody uses, and GDP talks about it. But in your opinion, is GDP, as it's written and as it's taken care of, is it that important, or are there other things that are more important than the actual GDP? Because really, GDP is kind of can be an artificial number, depending on what goods are selling or what services are happening.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a very broad indicator. You know, again, I question honestly the validity of the indicator as the way we once looked towards it as being certainly identifying what was going on beneath the surface of the economy. You know, the dynamics of the market, and you and I spoke about this in a couple of shows, has changed and continues to change very dramatically. Rules of the road have been changed and changed, I think, certainly far differently than anything we could have believed in our career. And as I said many times, when you look at the attitude and you look at the ability of the average investor to maneuver these markets, quite frankly, human nature never changes, Todd. And I think that's the big surprise that we're going to be looking forward as things start to unfold.
Now, Joe, I look at markets and I go, you know, people love to listen to the news. And I go, the news? Hell, by the time we hear the news, I always figure I'm like 1/1,000,000th in line to hear what just went on, right? It's already, the markets have a way of pricing assets, and you're a guy who said it right here in these airways. The markets are the most efficient. If left to their own devices, they are the most efficient at pricing assets by themselves. But, of course, we've got a lot of help from our friends at the Fed and all the other jackasses around the world. But when we look at this overall view, I mean, we're seeing things that are really illogical to any valuation any of us have ever learned, and we're really starting to fall into a trap that is a lack of logic, but it's almost like it's a design trap by the government and by the Federal Reserve. What do you say?
I couldn't agree with you more, and this is why people that are in these markets have to employ discipline now more than ever. These markets, again, I believe are at a turning point. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but we're putting in place, I believe, a very important secondary top in the averages. Doesn't mean we can't work somewhat higher, but as I've said, I think the upside's very limited, and I think the downside is very great. I don't rule out, and again, this is one man's opinion, that this market, certainly when we put the bear market lows in, and I think the bear market could run another couple of years once it really gets rolling to the downside, I think this market could give up as much as 50% of its value. You know, we've seen it happen twice before. We saw it in 2000. We saw it in 2008 and 2009. You know, there's a historical precedent. Again, go back 73, 74, after we put the 72 top in when Nixon won re-election. This market has a lot more downside than I think anyone can fathom, and I think that's the risk for the average investor. Get caught up in a very nasty bear market decline that I think when it starts down, it's going to stun them just how fast this market can really fall apart, Todd.
So where's the beef, big boy?
There is no beef. You take a look under the bun there.
No, and that's true. And that, see, to me, that's a problem. And this is, you know, I have a big problem with the Federal Reserve and with government. And not because it's government. I mean, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-government the way it runs today. Okay? I'm anti that I know that there's too many special interests controlling these numbers, and that when they continue to print money, they're really just taking money out of your or my pocket. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think to take it even further, middle-class America, for the first time ever recorded, now makes up a minority of the U.S. population. When did we ever see that? In 1971, 61% of all Americans lived in a middle-class household. The U.S. has undergone massive change since 1971. If you didn't live those times, as I said many, many times in the shows we've done, you're not truly aware of how dramatic these changes have been. I don't think we'll ever return to the prosperity we once knew as Americans. 1970, middle class took home 62% of all income. That figure has plummeted to a level of 43%. 48% of all Americans below the age of 30 now believe the American dream is dead. The average American now is looking at the possibility of maybe having a life certainly less enjoyable than his parents. We have 50% of all Americans age 25 still living at home with their parents. Job opportunities are very, very limited. You've got household income continuing to shrink. You've got the number of homeless children in America now up 60% in the last 6 years. You know, we are sliding, and I think, again, we talked about this in prior shows, and people are still in denial. We're sliding into the status of a third world country, Todd.
You know, it's funny. Not funny. It's very sad, actually. But, you know, I looked at Venezuela, and I looked at, you know, what's happened in some of these smaller socialist countries. And I go, you know, it's not going to happen imminently here. But if we continue at the pace we are at, which is spending much more than we take in, eventually we're going to run out of other people's money, as Margaret Thatcher put it. What do you think?
Well, two things. Since 2009, 95% of all income gain has gone to the richest 1% of the U.S. population. I think that statistic in itself speaks volumes of where we're going and, more importantly, what's been going on. Wealth disparity, the largest transfer of wealth, has been going on since the Great Depression in the 1930s. I see no end to that. You've got an all-time low labor participation rate, right around 62%. We're creating and adding, you know, far fewer jobs than we've been told that would certainly be generated in the economy. So this has been deteriorating, and I think people lose sight of it. But I've not seen this labor participation rate this low since the 1973-74 recession. I got to believe, again, it's a precursor and an indicator that's telling me we're headed for a deep and prolonged economic collapse, Todd. I really do.
You know, and of course, I believe that as well, which obviously makes me sad. Obviously, it makes me sadder for my children and so on. But I think that there is, you know, many, many big problems coming here. And I think there's a lot of things you can do to defend against those problems. And some of those answers are found by reading a guy like Joe Meyer's Straight Money Analysis work. I mean, it's straightmoneyanalysis.com. Because he's just laying it out. As you hear him talk here, he's laying it out the same way in his newsletter. And, you know, Joe, tell us a little about the newsletter real quick.
Well, you know, I've said many times, the investing public has a lot to learn. They continue to buy the sizzle and not the steak. And we write about what matters, and we write about why you own the steak and not the sizzle. And we write from the perspective of what you need to know, why you need to know it, and lastly and more importantly, what you can and should be doing about it. As you know, I write in great detail on the economy here in the U.S. and certainly internationally. We write about both the stock and bond markets. We write extensively on gold and
silver.
Joe,
I'm sorry I got you a little short. We're going to pick this up after the break about what you write. This is Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Check out his newsletter. We're going to talk more about it when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. You missed an episode. LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download. We'll step out here and come back with more from Joe Meyer, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich, we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with Joe Meyer from straightmoneyanalysis.com. So, Joe, you were telling us about the newsletter, and I sorry I had to cut you off before the break, but they got to make some money. Got to get some commercials. So go ahead, sir.
Well, we write about the economy, both the U.S. and international. We write about the equity markets, both stock and bonds. We write, again, extensively on the precious metals, gold and silver. We write in great depth in every issue on the energy sector, crude oil and natural gas. And lastly, and most importantly, we have a very extensive comment on Fed monetary policy in every issue of the newsletter as well. That's what we do, Todd.
Oh, that must be the category with the dunce cap on top of it all the time. All right, anyways. So, Joe, you mentioned gold and silver. Now,
right.
What do you think? Is this the next great bull market coming in gold and silver? I mean, obviously, we've had a very dramatic run, especially in silver. I mean, silver's up 40% in this year. Is this going to continue? What are you seeing in those markets?
Well, I think we've got a phenomenon going on, although I'll call it temporarily, where we've got the equity markets, the precious metals, and the energy sector all going up in concert. I think what we're going to see is a disconnect. We're going to see the equity markets correcting and or entering a bear market shortly. And we're going to continue to see the bull run in gold and silver and in the energy sector as well. I think oil is dictating certainly what's going on with the metals. I'm very positive as to the action I'm seeing in those markets, although I do agree with you. I think they're long overdue for a little bit of a breather, but I think it'll be very minor, a very shallow correction. And I think the markets will once again turn up, and I think the surprise will be how quickly they rally to new recovery highs. That's what I think is ahead of us in the metals and energy, Todd.
Well, I don't know about energy. I'm on the opposite side of the fence in energy. I think energy is going a little bit lower. I think it's more of a range-bound trade, but I do agree, obviously, in the metals. And a lot of that has to do with, in my opinion, because of the negative interest rate around the world. They're now actually forcing people to buy precious metals because you want to buy gold or silver and take your chances on the actual value of it in time, or do you want to give your money up to the Swiss on a 50-year bond at a negative rate? What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but when you speak about oil, we're using it up three times faster than we're finding it. We're burning through three barrels of oil for every new barrel that's discovered. You know, I did think the $26.50, $27.50 a barrel area was a major bottom. I was proven right. And I did indicate that we had history where oil prices had doubled six times within a two-year period of time. And here, basically, we had a run-up, and we literally doubled oil prices or came very close to it in less than a year. So I think we've got more upside in the energy sector. I've got an intermediate-term target, 62 in oil, intermediate-term target, 24, 26 in silver. And in gold, I think we could go on this move to 1420. We get above it on some decent volume, and we pick up some positive sentiment. I think we got the potential to rally to 1550 before we get another decent setback in prices, Todd.
Okay. I don't, you know, obviously I don't argue anyways, but I can understand and see all that. Again, you know, on the oil part, I mean, you know, we've got plenty, but again, that's how they make markets. That's what they call price discovery. There you go. So, you know, as we look at some of the other things, I just want to talk. I don't typically talk a lot of politics, but I'd like to talk a little bit with you. You know, I know we've got an election coming up. Is there a better candidate for the markets? Do you see something here? Is there something you don't like, or what's your feel here going into the election?
Well, you know, my belief is we're going to have problems no matter who wins the election. I think the problems are very great. I think they're built into the system, and I think they've reached a point now where they have to be addressed. So whether we see a Republican come in November or we continue to see the Democrats, you know, control the White House, serious decisions have to be made. There's no way we can continue down this path economically, Todd. It has to end.
Now, I'm from the school. I believe that I could have been the president in 2008. You could have been the president in 2008. And the markets were going to rally. They had been obviously so oversold that there was only one way for them to go from that point, and that was higher. Okay.
Right.
And I think no matter who gets elected this time, there's only one way to go, which is lower. And I think that's just, I think my personal opinion, and I guess I want to get your opinion as well, the actual president themselves have virtually no effect on the overall stock market at the time that they get in. They may have effect with some of their policies as they move on, but when they get into office, they have basically zero effect. What do you say?
Well, you know, typically, again, historically, markets go up into the election and down thereafter. And as you know, again, you go back, you study history, you study prior administrations. The first 2 years of a new term of a president, you see falling equity prices. I fully expect that. I think we're locked in a trading range in the Dow. I think it's bordered on the downside, at least temporarily, at 17,000. I think it's capped on the upside around 18,000 in the Dow. And I look for this trading range most likely to continue until we get through the election. And then I think as we get into the late part of the year in early 2017, the bear market really starts to take a bite out of people's butt, Todd. That's the way I see it.
No, I'm with you. Listen, we're on the same school. You just a little bit more, you give a little bit better explanation about all that stuff. That's, you know, now, you know, the Federal Reserve. What is your take of the Federal Reserve? Are you friendly towards them? Do you like the action they've taken? What is your deal?
Well, I've always looked at markets, and I've always felt they were bigger than certainly monetary policy, and I've always been a believer that at the end of the day, the primary trend wins out. I still believe that. I think in spite of everything that's been done to certainly postpone what these markets have done and certainly should have been doing a long time ago, I think at the end of the day, they no longer have the influence or ability to certainly keep these markets from doing certainly price discovery, which is, as you know, what markets do and do most efficiently.
Well, my question to you is should they be involved? I mean, they should have nothing to say about the stock market, and I think they've well overstepped their bounds, and I think they've created a lot of this mess with their inability to step up and do the proper thing. And that's my problem. That's why I went from a middle-of-the-road Fed guy to an anti-Fed guy, because I just don't think they do a very good job. I think they're clueless about the overall views, and I think that you cannot run a business or an economy out of a textbook. It just doesn't work that way. What do you say?
Well, I think they're always behind the curve. I think they've been slow to certainly deal with the eventualities of what these markets had been saying, and I think saying for quite some time. You know, again, I think you and I discussed in a previous show that if you know what to look for, markets tell you what they're going to do before they do them. And I think that's the skill and that's the knowledge that people need, certainly to be able to deal and deal effectively and deal profitably with this oncoming bear market, Todd. I really do.
Okay, so, Joe, you know, I look around and I'm, you know, obviously against what the Fed is doing with the interest rates, and I'm against the way that they've tried to manipulate markets, because very few people in the big scheme are beneficiaries of the stock market, especially the way that, you know, Wall Street is and the way they've done. But what I do look at and what does concern me is that this everlasting, ridiculous zero rate interest policy really destroyed the entrepreneur, because it took away the ability for banks to lend money. And that's, I think, is one of the bigger problems that nobody talks about. What do you think?
Well, it failed in Japan. As you know, their economy's been in a quagmire for over a quarter of a century. They've gone to negative interest rates, which, again, I think will be proven not to have solved the problems that have been built in, certainly to what's taken place in Japan over many, many decades. They went through a housing bubble, an equity market bubble. Their economy's basically flat and continuing to sink. So when you talk about the ability of monetary policy in itself to solve the underlying financial problems of an economy, I think when you speak to Japan, who tried the experiment first, it's been a dismal failure.
Now, if I said to you, I talked to an economist from Britain, from an English economist, and a very well-known one. I won't, you know, put his name out here right now, but you'll have heard of him. If I told you, he told me that economists are basically ignorant and had no clue, what would you say?
Well, I think when you talk about them being able to understand markets, I think that would be correct.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I want to make sure we're on the same page, because, again, I don't like to put words in anybody's mouth, nor do I want to infer that you agree with some of the things that I say about them. But, again, I just believe that we've really put ourselves in a very, very bad position, which is going to enhance the meltdown in which you're looking for and which I'm looking for, because you cannot continue to kick the can down the road and hope that you can, as they say, borrow your way out of debt. And one thing we have an abundance of in this country today is debt. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that and the effects that debt has. We are with my friend Joe Meyer from straightmoneyanalysis.com. I'm telling you got to check out his newsletter. The guy puts his heart and soul into this after how many years? 50 years you've been doing this?
Well, I got into markets in 1966, so I've been an investor 50 years. I've been a Wall Street professional, as you know, since 1972, 44 years on the street as a Wall Street professional, Todd.
So there you go. So here's a guy, and again, there's no, you know, fancy about this. This isn't, you know, the ones that are trying to sell you on fear and all this other stuff and get you. This is just a straight, you want a straight analysis of the market, go to straightmoneyanalysis.com and check out my friend Joe Meyer. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back with the conclusion with my man Joe Meyer from straightmoneyanalysis.com, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
I was proud.
Welcome after back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with my friend Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. 50 years investing, 44 years on the street, and still loves it, believe it or not. It's hard to imagine, but here he is. He's still banging them out and trying to help educate the American public. All right, Joe, look, we got an enormous amount of debt, and I made a statement a couple of weeks ago that the auto companies have sold out their future to get the money in now, creating more debt. In fact, the auto loan debt is twice as big as the housing bubble debt of 2008.
That doesn't
it's a fact. That doesn't include student loan debt. So how the hell are we going to get away and out of all this debt that has been created from these ridiculous programs that have been put forth by the Federal Reserve?
We're not. That's the simple answer. No one can accept the face. We're not going to be able to work our way through this. That debt's just going to have to be repudiated, Todd, at the end of the day.
Okay, so It's
going to become unserviceable, and it's going to become at some point unpayable. It's just a matter of time.
Okay, we do know that, right? I mean, we know that that creates the bigger problem. So I keep saying, Joe, that the markets are going to break at some point, and what they're really waiting for, I mean, they could break today, but what they're waiting for is an event that is totally off the beaten path, that like a Brexit type of thing, but, you know, Brexit kind of, you know, it was so close anyways that nobody could be sure that it was going to be one way or the other. And unfortunately, I believe the media frenzy of the bookmakers and what the gamblers are doing created people to believe that there was no chance they were going to pull out, and they kind of rallied the market up. And at the end of the day, all we did was just sell off back to where we were to begin with, and we have been in this very nasty range-bound market with very low volatility. But I'm saying that it won't be, the market won't announce itself, but there'll be some event, whatever that happens to be, that we're not expecting that will trigger the selling, and the next time the dip buyers will try to buy it, but the markets will continue lower. What do you say?
Well, I think that's exactly how it's going to play out. You've got people trying to get the last $10 out of this market. You know, if you're going to take the risk in this market and understand the risk that it represents, you're in this market to make $10,000, not $10. So I think you've got to look at the risk reward. You've got to take a look at, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing it. You know, what is your game plan if things go wrong? You know, over the years, many people will say to me, I have a game plan if things turn sour and they go against me. But, you know, the majority of the time, they can't tell you what that plan is simply because they don't have one, Todd. They're flying by the seat of their pants. They're hoping somehow that the markets recover and they get a second bite out of the apple and they get out of a position without losing too much money, and hopefully they live a day to do it again. That's not how you approach the market.
Okay, well, how do you approach the market, my friend?
Well, I think you've got to look at it from many standpoints. You've got to look at it, I believe, on a longer-term basis than being in it for a day trade. You've got to identify, you know, what you're trying to do before you put the trade in. You don't trade from the standpoint of sheer emotion. You trade from the standpoint of sheer fact and reality. And you've got to have an entry point, and before you enter the order and put on a position, you have to know where you're going to get out. You also have to have a plan to stop yourself out if the markets go against you. And lastly, and more importantly, you've got to have the ability to stay with a winning position and let it pay off. These are the things you learn through the years of being in these markets.
That would be correct. Now, are you a guy that believes in the model of continuing to try to switch from high risk to low risk and move around? What's your theory on that?
Well, I think the markets dictate, as I've often said, what you can and should be doing. Markets are changing and evolving continuously, and I think you've got to acknowledge and accept the changes that the market are giving you and adapt the strategy to allow you to be part of them and be part of them profitably. That's what you have to do.
Now, when we look at the overall general fiscal view and we talk about the debt, we talk about all the problems that are in the market, we're going to see, you know, markets will repeat themselves, and we, you know, I don't know how we missed Japan, as you mentioned earlier. I mean, why couldn't we figure out that model? But one of the bigger problems, Joe, in this country as well now is all the pension services that are, you know, they're paying out, most of them are paying out $2 to $3 to $4 for every dollar they're taking in right now. What happens to all these people in all these pension plans?
Well, I think the surprise is going to be they're not going to continue to certainly give the benefits in the retirement that people believe they've got coming. And I think when the markets turn down, they're going to hurt these pension plans very severely. They're going to hurt the IRAs. They're going to hurt the 401ks. Because I think, again, you touched on a very important point. People don't think that there's any risk in these markets. They don't believe these markets can turn down. And if they turn down, it wouldn't be a lasting move. It would just be another buying opportunity. And the mindset of investors in these markets has been lopsided for quite some time. And quite frankly, I don't believe, and again, it's my humble opinion, that investors truly see the risk these markets at these levels represent.
Well, I mean, but that, again, you know, you and I talk about that all the time. I mean, people just don't get it, or they don't want to get it. But let me ask you this. I believe that the commercial media, the mainstream media, is a big reason for that. you know, I get really irritated, Joe, when somebody says, well, just jump in and buy stocks because the yield is bigger than the 10-year. And that's not necessarily true. It is true by just pure numbers. But if you buy a 10-year bond, your money is protected and you get it back plus your interest after 10 years. It may fluctuate, but you're getting it all back plus the interest versus the stock market. You put the same money in. You might get your dividends, but that principal might be have a 40 or 50% haircut when you get it back. What do you say?
Well, you know, over the years, we were told interest rates don't matter, oil prices don't matter, investment sentiment don't matter, because this market's going to go up whether you agree with it or not. Well, this market is about to surprise people and go down whether you agree with it or not, and it's going to go down not for the wrong reasons, it's going to go down for the right ones. And I don't think people are looking at the right ones because they're delusional and they're in denial and they don't think they can lose money in this market. They're going to get a wake-up call, Todd.
Well, that goes without saying, but this is, again, as you and I both know, the number, the things that drive markets the most are what they call fear and greed. And we are, what I've said for months is the greed factor here, because people are borrowing money on margin to buy stock they can't afford to try to catch up and keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. And pretty soon, you know, and I both know what's down the road, right? Margin calls and markets starting to move, and all of a sudden, it's Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns all over again. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I'll even take it one step further. I wouldn't want to have all the money that's been made in this bull market, but I'll certainly take all the money that's going to be lost in the next bear.
Wow. My friend Joe Meyer. All right, Joe, you got about a minute. Okay.
Okay.
Tell me about the newsletter again and give our listeners some advice as a long-term investor.
Well, I think as a long-term investor, you have to be in the market for the right reasons and not the wrong ones. You know, everybody's situation is different. I think you've got to outline a plan that's reasonable and makes sense, and you've got to understand at any given time in the market how much risk are you actually taking in a portfolio. You want it to be diversified. You want to buy the quality. You want to buy it at fair valuation, but you don't want to be a greedy pig. You know, there's time to sell. There's time to take the money off the table. It's time to take a breather, raise cash, and wait for a better buying opportunity. And I think I can say it any straighter than that.
And that's why Straight Money Analysis at straightmoneyanalysis.com. And I know, Joe, you always have a special for my audience, and you know, we've brought a lot of people to you. Do we have a special this month for him?
Yes, we do. Out of respect to you, Todd, and what you do and what you'll hopefully continue to do, anyone becomes a subscriber to Straight Money Analysis, going to give you the full one-year subscription, normally $259.95 at the six-month subscription price, $149.95. You're going to save $110 over the one-year prescription. You're going to get some of the finest analysis that's ever been written in these markets, and you're going to get the benefit of my 50 years experience, having seen many different cycles and many different markets, Todd.
Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. As always, a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure as always to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We spent the day with Joe Meyer from straightmoneyanalysis.com. Make sure you check him out. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. If you miss it, we've got about 225,000 downloads a month now. We're trying to get to 300,000 and then to a million. I need your help. But for today, that'll be it. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Wake up,
Maggie. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.